Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiancé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love!
Hello, everyone! With me, I'm so happy to have the inimitable, the dashing, the one-of-a-kind, the British, Robin from Blind Day Fiancé.
Inimitable and one of a kind. It's you've doubled
down. They're the same one. They're the same thing.
No, that doesn't mean no. It's very good. I mean, that's really reinforcing the point that no one could.
No one's like you.
Would ever want to be like me?
Not at all. We all want to be like you. All Americans want to kind of be British because we think that's classy because we're cretins.
Yeah, we've been watching The Gilded Age.
Oh. Well, that's Americans who want to be Brits.
Right. You want those British butlers. Service has to be in the British style. None of this American nonsense.
I'm sad to say I did not watch last night's episode because I fell asleep.
Do not spoil. I've only got to the end of season one. I'm in catch-up mode.
Oh my God.
In catch-up mode.
It is... as I play the theme song and I'm like, corsets ready! Bustles! Initiate bustle mode.
Is it wrong for a married heterosexual husband and wife, such as myself and good Michelle are, is it wrong for us both to have the same, oh yeah, they're exempt person on the list? Because we've both put Carrie Coon on ours.
I think that's perfectly reasonable because okay. Carrie Coon is on mine.
Right.
I think for me, it's less sexual that I just want to be her and walk around in those dresses and go, church, ready my carriage. I need to go see Mrs. Astor.
I want her to put on an 1800s bulletproof vest and
yes.
Shoot herself in the chest with a musket or whatever they used back then. That would be good. Oh. A leftovers Gilded Age crossover. That is what I want. That is my fantasy.
God, she was, I know that's one of your favorite shows.
Ugh.
Her and The Leftovers, just from season, she was kind of the best thing about season one for me.
Justin Theroux's penis is the best thing about The Leftovers, come on.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's always true. But season one was so uneven for me, and I found season two to be unreal.
Season two is the greatest human achievement in the arts of all time. It trumps anything Shakespeare did. It trumps anything Mozart did.
Not to oversell it.
No. If anything, I'm underplaying it. I mean, we should put like a Blu-ray of season two of The Leftovers in a spaceship and fire it up so that aliens will be like, oh shit, we can't destroy that species. They did this. That's what we should do.
It was one of those things where it, when it was on, it was all I kind of thought about.
Yeah.
And Liv Tyler's darkness. And Ann Dowd, who I reference way too often on the podcast.
How Ann Dowd could have had a role that was more sinister and magnificent than the one she has in Handmaid's Tale? I have no idea.
I know. But I know.
She's done two of them.
I still believe that Ann Dowd should get a special award for character actress with a dark side, but strangely knowing.
Yeah, with the dark side that you still want round your house to hang out with. Right, I am not in the least bit scared of Ann Dowd. I think I broadly agree with her a lot of the time, and like her characters, and then I'm like, what the hell am I agreeing with? But it's Ann Dowd. She just has authority.
If I saw her in the valley, which she probably lives at a nice house in the valley, and I may run towards her like Lenny from A Mice and Men, arms flailing... and I would probably treat her like Curly's wife. So she would need to, she should run from me because I'm not responsible for what I would do to her because I love her so much.
Yeah.
And I love her so much. When I love someone so much, I want to squeeze them and I may squeeze her and hurt her.
Ooh, I don't know. She'd squeeze you back. I don't think I want to get into any.
She
physical.
Can handle herself.
She can handle herself.
Okay. Before we go off on Ann Dowd more. we need to talk about Toe, T to the O to the W, Toe. This is Toe. And this is season 5, episode 21. Y'all, if you are under a rock, Maddie is in Italy somewhere. I don't know. Maybe he's got like a couple of bricks strapped to his feet at this point in Sicily. He pissed off some mobster for like touching something he shouldn't have, not asking like he does in my house. Just picks up some shit.
Do you think he's asked some exotic man to take him on a ride on a moped because it was always his dream?
Like in The White Lotus, probably. Yeah. He's wearing Jennifer Coolidge caftans.
Yeah.
No, he's
if he gets invited onto a yacht party, just tell him to say no.
These are some high-end gays. I think he's generally gonna be fine because he's on a trip with his friend. And no one is like letting him do something foolish. So I think he should be okay. I think it's the most basic white lady tour possible. So nothing can really happen to him. However, when I was in Hawaii, I came back basically beat up. I had two elbow injuries and I fell off a bike. And it looks like I've been in a rock tumbler. But yeah, I don't do well on vacation, actually. I usually wind up injuring myself. Oh. But I'm fine.
I do too. I'll tell you what always gets me. And again, you know, being over here in Europe, we got some old shit here, right?
You do. And everything is very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Like I went to, I don't know, some... damn temple in Greece
when I was younger. Temple.
Some fucking thing from 3,000 years ago. God. Some god. Like and those stairs have been worn down by billions of people to this glassy marble gleam.
Yeah.
It's like something the blood in a hotel from lobby.
Human sacrifices. Just, right?
Yeah, and those stairs are slippery as hell. So if you ever go to any of them places, do hold the handrail. I slid down. I slipped at the top of what must have been 300 steps. And my ass went doink, 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 doink. 300 times down onto rock that has stood. It was black. I was battered by it. So do be careful out there.
I do think a lot of older monuments are not made for visitor safety. No. I don't think when the creators of these places designed them, they had in mind that people would be visiting. And that we may need more handrails.
They didn't have the health and safety we have now.
No.
They also didn't have the life expectancy.
So this is true.
A few children fall into the volcano.
So what?
Right?
You know what? And you're better off.
To feed, right?
Exactly. As my grandmother said, when my mother's dog had puppies. Now, granted, this was in 1997. And my mother's dog had like 10 puppies, and my grandmother's like, well, that's too many. Should have drowned some of them.
Oh, God.
And my mother went, what? This is not 1940.
I saw a thing the other day about the Gen Zs have discovered, is it all cats go to heaven? It might be, but there's a frame of the animation where the cat sort of goes up to heaven, and just in the background are three little kittens jumping out of a sack about to meet like some Peter.
Oh my God. And they freaked out. They're like, that happened?
The Gen Zs are freaking out about the fact that, you know, family entertainment involved drowned kittens. But you know,
no one got it. No one got it. It's like how you watch children's movies or movies that you can watch with your kids. And there was a scene in Dr. Doolittle, I think the one with Eddie Murphy, and he could hear what animals said. And a bunch of sheep ran out and go, our butts hurt. And
is that like, real?
That is real. And I remember seeing it and going, no kids are getting this, but okay. Wow. Y'all, a couple of programming things for us here at Reality Gaze. I'll be doing guest spots for the rest of the week. Manny will be back on, I don't know, somewhere in 2024. We'll see. It may just be me from now on. I haven't heard from him a couple times. Sometimes I just get pictures of lasagna, and that's all I get. Just lots of gelato pics. But no, seriously, he'll be back to do Golden Bachelor, I think we're going to do that on Saturday of this week. And we'll be back for the regular 90 day festivities on Sunday, as well as y'all, Smothered season 5 is coming up in December 12th. And so if you haven't been sick enough, and if you've wondered, where is my cringe show? First of all, we literally manifested the fucking fifth season of the show, like Darcy style, because we talked about it and the next day it was announced. And I don't know if Michelle mentioned this to you. I also said that I wished the building next to me would burn down because it was so awful. Robin, it literally burned the next day. It didn't burn down, but it caught on fire.
That is some major carry energy.
I'm
not going to a sock hop with you anytime soon.
I'll take you back to 1950 and we'll go to a sock hop.
I mean, it was a prom and carry. I just wanted to say sock
hop. Oh, you know what? I think it was a prom and carry.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think the word sock hop has been uttered on a podcast and since its inception, but I'm happy to be the first.
If you and I had a time machine, how cool would it be if we could go back in time to the 50s? I think we do well at it. We'd have to build a whole podcasting infrastructure.
Yes.
Right? But we could corner that market.
I would wear glasses
you
like Buddy
Michelle
Holly.
You and Michelle could do 30s shit. You know, you'd be fine.
Oh,
you know every
that's
last
the decade.
Of
that's
life,
the
right?
decade that I really feel like I had to have been living in, because the 20s and the 30s feel so real to me. I was definitely a sex worker. yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I probably died because I couldn't make it through Prohibition. I just died of sadness.
From what I can tell from movies, no one did.
No. Like,
no one actually stopped drinking. In fact,
no one actually stopped drinking. Yeah. It was a joke. So anyway, y'all, we're happy about Smothered. Maddie will be back soon. That's all you need to know. But I'm here raw dogging it through the next couple of weeks. You're going to see lots of other features with me. We got DocuSweeties coming up to do Love After Lockup. I'm doing another Love After Lockup with Mary Payne. And who else am I seeing? I think that's it. It's going to be fun. But for right now, let's jump into episode 21, which feels like episode 88, called Stranger Things Have Happened. Mm. Now, you have seen, Robin, we are doing TV show titles with little adjustments. I'd prefer this instead of the wedding vow recitations.
Awful, right? Are they going to have the if anyone has any objections bit?
Is that has to.
Is that going to be in there? Are they going to build an objection into it?
You don't have to use that. I think it's a thing on TV and film that a lot of people just like use to have someone like jump up and say something. You don't have to have that. And I for sure wouldn't have that. I've learned from experience not to have that at your wedding, because when your husband has adult children, they'll always do it.
Yeah.
With lawyers. That's a problem.
It's so hilarious. I mean, as far as I know, it might not be the case in other countries, but any country that has that vow also has a pretty meticulous process that you have to go through to get a license.
Yes! It's so stupid!
There being any legal reason why you may not get married.
I don't think anyone...
Uncle Joe is in a better position to raise an objection than the government who have
He's drunk!
Yeah.
He's drunk already!
He turned up drunk.
That is so fucking stupid. My community, these assholes who are my family, they have no say in this.
What do they know? Yeah.
They know nothing. I think it's awful. Yeah. Y'all, cut that provision out.
Yeah. It's meaningless.
Just a note about, I have to ask you, because I know you're watching 90 Day this season, season 10. Did you see what I could only call, what we called on social media, a love story in four photos? It was Clayton, guinea pig lover, also someone who's allergic to guinea pigs, which is the single funniest thing this season. Clayton sitting there on the bed, legs splayed open, wearing kind of acid wash, sweatpants, if that's possible.
Anything's possible.
Looking like, I've called him, and I've said this before, and I still reiterate it. I think if Clayton touched you, his skin would feel so clammy and sweaty, and his hands would be baby soft. And you would feel a whole, just a shiver go through your body. So it makes sense that every time Annalie, he goes near her, that she's like, no, we're going to bed. And she just wishes herself into another dimension.
Yeah, she strategically puts a pillow between them for no discernible reason. There's no,
Yeah, I think she deserves everything if she's going to be able to put up with this man.
Oh my God, and his sister, yeah.
Oh, the sister?
She was all nice as well. Now, hey, you will remember because I notoriously have no memory for names or faces. Basically, people go in one eye, out the other with me. What was the name of our beloved little short king? What was his name on Lalu? You know, the guy that always wore like the
Kevin.
Kevin.
Now, yeah.
What was the name of his on-off blonde girlfriend, not his girlfriend.
Shit. What was her name? She was crazy. She was wonder. Kayla.
I think it may well have been Kayla. Brandy.
They're very similar. Yeah.
Brandy is Kayla 5 years down the line, right? Brandy is what happens to Kayla after she has to kind of get a job and a bit of a responsibility, but she can still lose it at any moment.
And a lot of fireball shots.
Yeah.
And a lot of Miller genuine gold. Or whatever it is. Y'all, I got some, I'm going to say this. I'm so happy to be able to read this because I just got this. I'm so glad you brought that up. I just got some tea from a sissy. I'm not going to say her name, but she is an Indiana sissy. This is specifically in reference to Clayton and Brandy. And I'm going to read this message verbatim. Hey, last spring, two white vans full of cameras, crew, and equipment pulled into the Airbnb that is across the street from my house on a quiet golf course. My husband is always the neighborhood watch and greeter who introduces himself. I would not want to be that person, but I understand that people who have husbands like that. They're always introducing himself to people renting out the Airbnb just to feel out why they would be visiting our little town with nothing to offer visitors. Upon introducing himself to the crew, he was told they were filming a love story. When I came home from work, he told me, he was explaining to me and said that a small, dark-haired foreign girl was standing in our yard for most of the day, hiding behind a tree and texting. I said, oh my God, you know they're filming for 90 Day Fiancé because she's a fan. And she's in our Facebook group. She's like, he's like, he watches the episodes with me and said, why would they be in Connersville, Indiana? Well, lo and behold, while watching the next episode, I see a girl from my town named Brandy at a bourbon tasting in Kentucky. I squealed. Then fast forward to Clayton and Annalise's visit to our Indiana, which is our local orchard and our local hotel. It says, your assumption of Brandy is 1,000% accurate as a drunken barfly. And also, I think I've said she's seen some shit. And I also think she might have been the surrogate parent to Clayton while her mother was off finding treasures and going to storage wars. And she said, I'm going to clarify that she might be found at a local establishment named the Fantasies or Aussies, enjoying shots of Fireball. I knew it was Fireball. I have also witnessed her in a local salon having her feet on the wall with the slush of melting snow dropping off her shoes down the wall. And when the owner, I'm the owner, said, really, you're going to put your feet on my wall? She gave me a bulldog-like glare. For clarification, she's not my client, and the stylist she was going to is no longer employed at my salon. Your assumptions of Indiana are also correct, because I said Indiana was just one big trash panda. Fortunately, my girlfriends and I love traveling, and we enjoy visiting blue states. We are proud to be part of the Stacey Squad, and I am asking this message to remain anonymous, because Clayton's sister be crazy.
Wow.
So that's some tea. Literally from the wild. So Brandy is to be found on the back of a motorcycle with shots of Fireball. She's definitely had her time with, let's say, not the best men. Also, Brandy has a child named Brooklyn, as I talked about it on the podcast yesterday with Kyle. And
doesn't
that,
everyone, though?
Yeah, I guess so nowadays. Yeah. Anyway, little tea about that. And
oh, that's magnificent. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And thank you to that sissy for sharing that.
Let us finally jump into this after we've been doing girl talk for so long, Robin.
Yeah.
I have to ask
you. It's
been
a long time, Jay.
Yes, it has been forever.
Yeah.
When there was a boy named, I shouldn't say a boy, a guy named Robin in my college class, one of my college classes. And I'll never forget a girl saying, hey, I've only heard that as a girl's name. Have you heard Americans only say that to you? Even though it's a common British first name.
Yeah, and I think not just Brit, but yes, it's much more common for girls in the States. We have, when we cover Sister Wives, we're very clear, though, that it's Robyn, not Robin, because it's spelled R-O-B-Y-N, and that's Robyn.
Robyn.
If her name were Robin, it would be spelled R-O-B-I-N.
Robyn.
Which is how you spell Robin. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, usually you can tell from the spelling. I had my first sexual experience because of my
Go
name.
Go on. Go on and don't spare any details.
Well, obviously, you know, hindsight, this is all horrific because I was far too young to be having this kind of experience.
Yes.
But hey, you know.
Age? Let's not mention the age.
Right. But this older girl said to me, oh, your name's Robin. Do you have a red breast? And I thought this was pretty snappy for a kid my age. Not
That's racy.
Well, I came back and said, I do not. do you?
Oh!
And she showed me her boobs.
I'm speechless.
I had all the banter as a kid. Stare him straight in the eye, double down on it.
Oh my. I'm now all Twitter pated. Even though the story involved boobies, I'm all for it.
Sure.
Anyway, let's move on and talk about the twin AI characters of Shekinah and Sarper. The air is chilly in Turkey this morning. And like a deli freezer that you would find turkey in. I don't know the end of this metaphor. So
did they both get pardoned this week?
And with the Thanksgiving bit.
Yeah.
She's literally heading straight to her room and she says, you know, I was just Sharp is, I was transparent with everything I thought. You and she's like, you should have said what you thought. You should have thought like longer about before you said those things. And he went, but you know about my anxiety. I swear to God, I know he's a horrible, misogynist, chauvinist. I don't care. I need him on television as much as possible. No.
Like he says, but I was transparent. It's like, I nearly said something terrible. I nearly thought of various figures from, you know, world history who were also transparent about what they think. And
right.
We don't necessarily think they're great people for it.
I was saying what I thought. And like, he should get something for that.
No. You should think something else.
Kyle said this and I've been thinking about it all day. He said, every time Sarper speaks, he has this surprised look on his face, like he just said something and he's shocked like a dog speaking English the first time. It's like, what? What?
What? What? I mean, I can talk because, you know, there's a lot of gray going on at the front here. But, you know, with him, that kind of shock of very kind of gray, almost white hair, but the rest of it is very dyed. And so I'm like, have you run out? Why are you not doing the front back? And I think what it is,
it starts off
black. No, I think it starts off black and he shocks himself. And like Leland Palmer in Twin Peaks, immediately his hair goes bang, bright white.
I think it might be the glare off, you know, how comic books have that kind of glare.
Yeah.
And like, because he's a comic book character come to life, he also has a glare. So he's like, I won't let you go. And at this point he just starts taking her underwear out of the suitcase and it feels so weird. And at one point it feels threatening to me,
but then it's him.
And it's stupid Sarper. And so it just feels like he's walking around talking like this. So he basically says, I will sleep on the couch. Don't leave. And she takes everything he says as kind of normal. She doesn't, her reaction to Sarper saying things like, well, that's what I said to you. And you, and I'm like, you should say, who talks like this?
At no point.
How are we here?
She's not the address, the elephant in the room.
No. How are we here? How are you a person alive at this moment? Why am I here?
Yeah.
These are existential questions that need to be answered.
But more than that, can you even have children?
I mean, right. You're an action figure. Do you have genitals?
Right. There's just a smoothed plastic bulge because you know they never have, right?
You know what?
They haven't. None of this is.
It does kind of feel like Barbie and Ken. And when the lights go out, they turn off.
Yeah.
Or some like really large preternatural child is like holding on to both of them. Oh my God, they're both dolls, like in that Twilight Zone episode where all of them are thrown into the bin. Mm-hmm. and they think they're real, but they're not.
Yeah, he's like one of the scary toys in Toy Story 1, towards the end in the building next door, you know, with the little goblin next door. Yeah.
I think we've solved it. They think they're alive, and they're not.
No, and you can tell with the language they use, because did she not say, like, unsubscribed or something?
Yes, she said unsubscribe. And this week said, he says,
I delete you.
Oh, I wanted to say that. Do you think he means if he deletes her from Instagram, she actually disappears?
I don't think he even meant deletes her from Instagram. I think he literally means he will hack the code and delete her from existence.
From the life video game.
Yeah.
That is happening.
But again, that's also what they look like. They look like, do you remember Second Life?
Yes, huge, huge video game. I never played it, or huge game. Yeah,
right. That people but it's did. That level of like they're so featureless and blocky, and made out of Minecraft-like rectangles.
Just code.
Yeah, they're just code. So I think he literally does mean he will have her deleted. It's spectacular,
and that's why I think none of us can really be interested in the stakes of their relationship, because it doesn't matter. Because they think they're living life, but we know they're just mannequins there for our amusement. I think that's why. And that's why I enjoy these two more than any other storyline this season, because I know these are really pretty mannequins who are going to probably stay together, but nothing will ever happen. They can't procreate because mannequins can't have children.
Right.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops? Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Y'all, she's in a hotel 2 days later, and she's like, you know, he's been like hanging around, and like the other day I saw him downstairs and he was making like heart sounds, heart symbols, and I went, so he just creeps around outside without calling you and goes, hello.
Look at this, is me making heart emoji.
Yeah, he's got an actual romantic guy behind the bush.
Yes.
Giving him instructions. A big nose.
this is his say anything. Or Cyrano. Yes.
Yeah. Which one was more romantic? His, you know, making, you know, heart shapes, you know, from down on the street, or Rub the Knobs, I miss you, where he couldn't even be bothered to type out the Y and the O in you. Which one was the better?
he might be. Kyle took him down pretty hard. I had no notes. Kyle said, this might be the most, he's like, the entitlement of someone who has done nothing, who is so joyless, who is also just an energy vampire, and he's done absolutely nothing in his life, but he still thinks he's owed so much, and his personality gives up the idea that he is so cool and hot. And the only thing he has going for him is he's somewhat attractive. He is attractive. But I will say, since the very beginning, I thought he was hot. Now I can barely look at him. He's so awful.
It's strange. I can usually, you know, being from the other side of the rainbow frontier, I can usually pretty readily tell when at least heterosexual women are going to find men.
Yeah.
And I think I've got a pretty good idea of what, you know, gay men are going to find hot in other men. I do not see it with him. I have to say, I don't see it. He has been to the gym. That is the extent of his hotness.
Yeah.
Everything else about him actually isn't hot. So what he is he's something pretty rank in, like, maybe luxury packaging. You know, like if you go to a really cheap store and they figured that they can sell you something cheap, but if they put it in one of those cardboard boxes with a little magnet so that when you open it up, it, you know, that you'll feel like you're buying an Apple product, but actually you're buying a knockoff of a knockoff of a knockoff of a knockoff. That's what he's like to me. Like I can see how in a darkened room, if you don't look closely, you may find him hot. But I think surely anyone, if they open their eyes just a millimeter more, will go, oh, what am I thinking? That is horrible.
He has this kind of look. He's almost like trying to be practicing like a model the whole time. That kind of like he never smiles. He's joyless.
Yeah,
and he's not hot enough to act that way.
No,
he's just not. I totally agree.
Do. For my sins, and I'm, you know, I feel some shame about this because she is not my type by any means. I do find her quite attractive.
Sophie, she's so cute. I also think that we forget that she's 23 fucking years old. Also, Kyle told me this. She's had experience with OnlyFans before. She's had several profiles. So, and it also... And Kyle thinks that they may have met on OnlyFans. And one of the reasons this feels weird is because it actually may be a recreation of a relationship that happened, which I've felt that some 90 day that's happened.
Yeah.
So moving on, y'all, he is still making cute heart sounds out her window. And she's actually moved by this.
I know.
Just to clarify.
Where are these women with such low standards, and why have I never met them?
I just got that. Well, the great thing about most of gay men you'll meet is we have no standards. And actually, I always say that my standards start out really well around 10 p.m., but as you click 11, there's such a thing as like an 11 p.m. Grindr hookup. There's a 12. We don't really talk about the 1 a.m.s. The 2 a.m.s, your photo, I don't even see a photo.
That's why they call it Eastern Standard Time, because, you know, by the time you're on Pacific time, there's no standards anymore.
That is a literate joke, and I enjoy it.
Thank you.
So he's also sending her these creepy videos saying, I'm sorry. And just looking in the camera going,
Will you forgive? I am sorry.
And those big black eyes. And the filtering that's going on in these apology videos. It's incredible. This couple never needs to end. Just for me.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. Anyway, she is meeting him. He's got flowers, of course, and an open shirt and what looks like this jacket with like a trench coat wrap behind it. I was confused. And he says the most poetic thing possible.
Needles pierce my heart and I could not breathe.
He apologizes, said,
I said bad things to you. I know I said I would forget you in 2 days. Two.
It's funny you should say that because there is something very what we do in the shadows about him.
I have said he was Count Chocula for the whole time. Yeah. And
two orgasms. Three.
2,000 women.
Exactly. And he said, but I am
that's
a liar.
That's also the sound he makes while he's having sex.
Exactly. That's the sound of, that her and that head against and her head against that horrible headboard. that is just disintegrating from all the semen that's been splashed against it, just like.
To be fair, though, we're going to see it again because Gino bought that headboard on Craigslist. Right, he's like, this is cheap.
This is a great price, Jasmine. just shellacked with semen. There's an actual sheen. You touch it and it's very smooth. But he does say that
I could not forget you for 2 decades.
And y'all, this is the thing where you know. So the child thing. He basically completely relents and says,
oh, sure.
I will forget about everything. Just stay with me.
I must be in 4 more episodes.
Because the most important thing for me is the child. But even more important is that I stay on TV.
Could you imagine him as a dad?
Oh, absolutely not.
But that's what I want. I want to see him at the playground. What would he do to the kid, like, on the roundabout? The kid would go flying off over the tree line.
You little slut! Bitch! Whore! What's the word?
Oh. That moment also lives rent-free in my head. When he goes, bitch! And then looks confused. What's the word? Whore!
Incredible. Just incredible.
And then she says, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And so I guess we're all good. I'm just every time I scratch my head every time we watch these segments, but I also love them so much.
It doesn't matter. Logic doesn't matter. How they really feel doesn't matter because they don't really feel. It's glorious.
It's wonderful. Moving on to something that's not as wonderful, Mary and Brandan, we call him Brandan because of the way it's spelled. I think Maddie calls him Brandary, which to me sounds like an Irish tune. Brandary, play some Brandary. It's my favorite. We are still mid-bug beetle swarm. Mm-hmm. The biblical plague that these two committed some sin for. And I wrote down, and I said, I don't know why we didn't say this when it first started. It's like bugs on your wedding day.
You see,
it's a panic attack that your mom has.
God. I thought Disney Plus was getting the streaming rights to the new Indiana Jones movie. How did they swing this? This is incredible.
Y'all, this is one of the single scariest things I've ever seen. And I do have to say, it's still not as scary as Brandary's first part of their season. With the problem, like the beetle swarm, is still not the saddest thing that's happened.
But neither one of them bats an eyelid because they've spent years watching each other shit. Okay. They have seen some things. So a few beetles is no big deal.
Do you notice there were beetles in her dress? Yeah. And she's like, oh, they're biting me. And I'm like, you know, you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
When you kind of disassociate when there are beetles in your wedding dress, you know, you've seen some shit.
Yeah, when the rat is gnawing your toe off and you just go.
And you're like, this is fine.
Left. Yeah, yeah.
I guess we're married now. I still say that the trauma of what Mary has endured, the full trauma, will never be known because it is a terrifying story.
We don't know, though, right?
No.
The true backstory has never been – because – we know about his abandonment issues, right?
Yeah.
We don't actually really know what happened to her parents.
No, I don't think. I think it's best unknown.
I have the same theories see in your eyes.
I still think there's something weird about when she went to her school and she's like, these were the best times of my life. And after this, it was all over. And it still feels like there was some type of assault or it feels really dark. Yeah. And I have a feeling that whatever they're living through now, Mary and Brandan, this is better than it used to be. And so for them being on their Instagram live and doing all that shit, it's very Paul and Karini volume 2. But even sadder is the fact that Beatles got to this cake. It wasn't going to be a great cake already, y'all, but there are beetles in it, and they're just picking them out and eating it. And I thought I might do it, too. I would probably pick out the beetles, because beetles aren't all the way in the cake.
I know your relationship with cake, so I wanted to specifically ask you about this. How many beetles, how deep, before the cake is no longer viable? What's the rule? You know, like the two-second rule?
This is a Sophie's Choice issue. This is really tough. Yeah. I don't like eating bugs. When they're buried into cake, I think I could personally see them if I was eating them. Right. I will say this. If I don't get cake to a wedding did not happen. If I did not have cake. So what I would say is, there is definitely a way to take off what the icing was there. Hmm. And if you get a beetle, sew it, it's going to be dead.
People eat that shit. I've seen naked
protein.
And Afraid. Some of them love this stuff, right?
You could.
There's a guy on the later season of Naked and Afraid, the All-Star Challenge, Last One Standing or whatever. He's scooping them out of the ground by the handfuls and shoving them in his mouth.
That's what people eat.
Yeah.
As soon as my beetle goes in that cake, it's food for me. There it is.
Right, now, it's just added. Yeah.
If it's still moving, there are going to be issues. But I personally think I could see, maybe if I was not really hungry, because then my eyes kind of turn like a shark and I can't really see what's in front of me. But I think I would say if the beetle was in there a half inch to more in it than an inch, I think I would still eat the cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good to know. But
I will say, I would have definitely eaten this cake. I guarantee you there are going to be people like, oh my God, they're eating the cake even with beetles in it. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what? It's cake. You would have done it too. If you've been waiting this whole day, wedding day, just this shit show, just to get a mouthful of cake, you'd eat it too.
To be fair, from what I can tell, he's had the same meal 3 times a day since he got there. I can't remember what it's called. But she cooked it for his mom. It's forgive me
like
for not remembering
frog legs or something, or maybe that's their special meal.
But there's one thing that just keeps coming up. So like anything, just for
I think
a change,
it's probably like adobo or something
I think
like
it
that.
Is adobo.
Yeah,
I think it
he's
is
just
adobo.
He's just eating adobo and rice. And right. Y'all, and the current pictures of Brandan saying that all that rice went to his belly.
Well, she wanted to fatten him up so that the other
and
chicks
she were, got air wish.
Yeah, yeah, they both got pregnant.
He's even saying things like, "Yeah, my job is going to be to work out more in the future." Because y'all, he came over there very. He probably subsisted on Hostess cakes and crackers from the gas station before. So
he always struck me as a dumpster diver.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
Which is, I mean, that kid suffered. Now, with these beetles, you're aware, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were scarab beetles.
I don't know. I'm not a beetle expert, but
I believe they were scarab beetles, which, far from it being a biblical death plague, that is your birth and regrowth bug. Scarab beetles, you know, they would bury the Egyptian pharaohs and stuff with, obviously, scarab beetles. That is high portent. That is good shit.
Maybe. Like she said, it's time for a fresh start. This is a rebirth.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a good omen.
Right. Can we stop complaining and look at the upside here? Okay, everyone got scared off from the wedding. Okay, I've lost my ring. Okay, I have no employment potential whatsoever. Okay, you went through unfathomable childhood traumas, but there's a fucking scarab beetle in it.
Exactly.
Be all right, babe.
So yeah. What if there's a plague of them?
Yeah.
Now,
if the Egyptians had just had the same kind of approach in the Bible, you know? All of
Agreed.
Those plagues visit, then, you know, who knows how history could have been different.
After this, when the rivers turn to blood, no one's going to bat an eye.
Right.
Anyway.
Just look on the upside.
he does say, you get a taste for blood. He does say, later on, he's going to try to take some more of the idea of, with more of the finances. What I don't understand is maybe he can't do this, but if he's worried about not speaking the language, why can't he just kind of work with Lolo or do something else that because he can't really work with the store? And I personally think Mary is doing pretty goddamn good with the finances. I think Mary can survive.
What I don't get is why can he not work remotely?
It's incredible to me.
We know they've got rock solid internet access, right? Okay, because those toilet cans never went down. Right? The bandwidth on those.
Even during the typhoon that took their roof off, the toilet cam persevered. It's like a ghost light.
The internet only went down when she lied and said it had gone down to go and hang out with other boys.
When she was out with Charlotte, Miranda, and and Samantha.
Yeah.
Who were at that wedding and they had the best of times and they were shit talking everybody being bitchy the whole time and I loved them for it.
So there is no reason why he could do what we're doing. Right?
Agreed.
Come on. I'd listen to your podcast, Brandon. That's how you get yourself on Patreon, dude. It'll be okay.
Start an OnlyFans. You know, I'm sure you're not working with a lot, but who cares? If you do freaky shit, the freakier the shit, the better your niche market. I've heard.
I'm not sure she'd go for that, but it's a
that's
but
it, you know
the
what
suggestion box.
You got a point there. You pimp yourself on unfiltered, like Ari and Beanie are starting to do now. Unfiltered, by the way, is Fart Jar Stephanie's version of OnlyFans.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, that's what she's calling it, unfiltered.
Oh fuck me, I. In the entire universe, there is no one I have disliked more.
Oh my God, Robin.
Oh, that
she's,
is nauseating.
She's my number one of who I absolutely despise. And I can never really put my finger on it because it's not that
How
I feel like
got?
She's a... Exactly. Every time she's on our screen, though, I just have this visceral, complete and utter disgust for her.
Yeah. She habitually monetizes other people's real lives.
That's it.
And I think that's what I object to most. I mean, you have to remember, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, they were the first same-sex...
They were.
90-day couple.
They right? were.
And for that to have been absolute fraud, which it was. Absolute fraud. Nothing gay about this garden anyway. Nothing bisexual about her anyway. Whatsoever. Just complete fraud. Poor old Berica, as I call her, and I don't know why I call her Berica.
I loved her.
She was a nice girl, right? She was a nice girl. But what a vile, vile thing to do.
Yeah.
And just politically, what an awful thing to do to co-opt that and monetize it in that way. Ugh, horrible.
Yeah.
And then she did the same thing in her single, was it Single Life season where?
Yes. Oh, that was when she turned in to just an absolute creature for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this she just kind trauma. Of led
this
people
is my
along.
Insecurity. I'm scared to. No, you're not. None of this is true. You're looking for ways to make money out of real problems and real traumas that real people have. Horrible.
Hear, hear. Never want to see her again. But you know what? She's doing fine selling her farts. So I wish her the best, like Sean Robinson said.
Well, shame on anyone on Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Kim and TJ. So one of the things I've been thinking about this week and last week is the fundamental way that the story has been told here is that things that are true. TJ did not prepare Kim for what she was going to do almost at all, and embellished, let's say, molded the truth into something that was. The thing is, more than Rishi, more than Sumit, TJ is extremely likable and more charming than either of those two. There's something about TJ that shows up really well on camera, especially his in the moments. And you do believe he genuinely loves her. Also, he wants to live just like his fucking parents.
Yeah.
And he's kind of been, strangely, he's been the biggest liar. For what he said to her and the disjunction. The issue is that Kimberly is so fucking unlikable that we don't see TJ's surreptitious kind of lying constantly.
Kimberly's it's so hard.
Yeah.
Kimberly is totally entitled to every single thing she says and every way that she says it.
Completely.
Why the hell would she go downstairs? Have you seen what happens when she goes downstairs?
Her mom says, gotta follow the rules. Make me something, bitch. Yeah.
Like, if I was going to walk into kind of a nest of vampires like that, I would need some garlic around my neck, but she's not even allowed any
she
garlic
can't have
around
that. Or onions.
Right. You cannot blame her. But it's the way. You're absolutely right with what you say about him. The difference with Sumit is the things were kept behind, right, from Janet. And that's what we saw, you know, last time around as well. But, you know, things were not disclosed. Where TJ's particularly behaved badly is that he has addressed all of these issues and said that they will not be a problem.
And said they will not happen.
Yeah.
And with Kimberly, you can't just kind of fudge things because she's like a district attorney and she's going to cross-examine you until you break.
Oh, she'll be measuring the width of that door to the millimeter. That is not what was in the architectural blueprints.
And y'all, so basically the family complains she's always spending time up there. She doesn't, the mom says, well, she's too good for us, blah, blah, blah. And it's 3 months later. Mm. So you imagine the Mount Vesuvius that is Kimberly is taking some time to, the lava's about to explode. And TJ is also really good at saying, and all of this, I'm stuck in the middle. And I've got to say, he has really going for Miss Congeniality this season. And all of his in the moments are a little bit of poor me. And he has low key tried to be the nice guy all, and now it's kind of breaking down. It's really, yeah.
You're in even the middle because yes. You choose to be in the middle, dickhead.
Exactly.
You could be on either side like that. Both sides want you on their side.
I kind of wish if he would just admit to her, I wanted to live as a joint family. This is the way I want to live. And she'll probably say, and I think it is that he's so afraid of not being her like shining armor knight or whatever it is. He's so, I don't know. This actually storyline's getting hard for me to watch.
She's also a massive dum-dum too. Like when he goes, oh yeah, I'm building us an apartment. Oh, that's good. What part of town? Well, it's the part of town that my parents live. Oh, well, whereabouts exactly? It's right above my parents. At that point, you might be like, maybe too close, right?
Well, I think she's also one of those people that they let the other person make a lot of the decisions until so they don't have to take accountability for it. And so
they enjoy criticizing it.
When something displeases them, that's how their relationship works.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a better edit because he's been patient the whole thing with her. And I think the editors really like him compared to her because y'all, the crew hates her.
Yeah, they really do. You can always tell when an edit is that bad. She said something really bad to the key grip.
She has gotten a legendarily bad edit because they can't stand her. And it's...
away with it because his brother's been able to play that role too.
Yes.
To be fair.
Now,
If her parents had just been unspeakably vile, she might have had a softer edit too. But there's no one on her side to be the bad guys. I mean, she's doing all of this to piss her parents off.
Yeah.
That's
obviously.
Couldn't be clearer, right? The whole thing is just to fuck you.
I'm going to go to India and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. But I was expecting her parents to be these kind of monstrous controlling, and they were just kind of real sweet, you know?
Yeah.
Nice, quite open-minded, not a problem kind of people.
I think her mom is the one, not the stepmom. Her mom is the monster in her life. Right. Yeah. Y'all, later on, she is, Yash reminds us, by God's grace, I will only marry a Hindu girl. It's like the outro of like some kind of Bollywood movie when the American woman's the problem. And the music goes, ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum. And the mom goes,
It was kind of the flip side of like, and again, sorry to skip shows here, but it's the flip side of Ethan in Plathville.
Yes! Yes!
By God's grace, I will only marry a fundamentalist.
I will only marry a fundy baby factory.
Yeah.
So, y'all, TJ comes home. She's basically in her video diary she's making. She says, hard for me to feel like, because the crew can't even film her anymore. They're just like, we hate her. So she's doing her own thing.
And this is the same crew that had to film the wedding with all the Beatles, right? Okay.
That's true.
They were all running out for shelter and stuff. Fucking cameraman has to stand there with Beatles flying in his ears and stuff.
Even that
and
cameraman won't be around Kimberly.
Well, he's got that gig. He's like, oh shit, they've posted me to India now. Oh man.
I think even the Beatles cameraman would have been like, but it's Kimberly. She's talking about being audio voyant and clairvoyant. Ugh. So she's saying,
how much did the rights for The Exorcist sell for? You know, the three movies that they make, Matt, and the first one kind of disappointed at the box office. And didn't they pay, like, was it $500 million?
I think that IP, was, that's correct. Yeah.
And now they're kind of shafted, right? Because they've got to make another two, and they're going to perhaps make about $200 million for the whole thing. And it's one of the big Hollywood car crashes, right?
Right.
In industry terms.
That last one, that kind of flop. Yeah. Totally.
This is just a suggestion to the studio that made that financial decision. You can save a lot of money by hitting up Kimberly. That is all I'm saying. You've got to make two more films. I know someone with relatively low financial requirements who can just sit in front of a camera.
She's got her own tarot cards.
Right? Just put her in front of a camera for 4 hours, hit record, leave the room, done. That's your IP recouped.
Because, you know, she'd make some good horror for you. Y'all, we're, of course, talking about the screaming at the end. And
Full on Linda Blair. Head spins round, soup comes out.
It does feel like they caught her on a peak of the anxiety. And also, she says she's depressed. I think she definitely is. But I think this is obviously some more, there's something more than that going on. There's some more instability going on than that. But she says, it feels like I'm in isolation. I'm not ignoring them. I just don't have anything to say because, I'm not on good terms with them. And then he makes the mistake of saying, are you crazy, and uses the C word, and that's when we first get the soup explosion. Oh, never call me crazy.
The ice starts switching.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
And then she says, I don't call you an asshole or a titty baby, which I did enjoy. Because he's obviously a mama's boy.
Is that a phrase? A titty
I
baby?
I had never heard it, but I inferred what that was, and I thought that meant mama's boy. You're always attached to your mama's tit.
I'm a huge fan of phrases, aphorisms, whatever, that I've never heard before, but it's so on
titty
the
baby.
Money, you can just work it out. You know?
Yep. And titty
that
baby.
Goes straight on my list of something I never heard before.
Titty baby.
Titty baby.
So, and then he does, which I'm sure is probably the most hurtful thing for her. It says, well, if you don't like it, you can just go back. And her thing is, you don't know the sacrifices I've had to do. I've left all my friends. I can't call them because it's too late where they are. And I have to go to bed early so I can never talk to my friends. Have you ever heard of an alarm? This is someone who also loves the cloud of their own drama. They love it.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to bed early, does that not mean that you get up early? So can you not speak to your friends at the other end of your sleep cycle? None of that makes any sense.
I really do. I feel for her because she's obviously someone whose emotional needs are not being met here.
Sure.
And that is clear. And I also feel like what you said a minute ago, this attempt to move to India is something through resentment about her American life or her life that she thought she could find something different. And it's this kind of iconoclastic idea that I'm not like other girls. So I'm going to go live in India and I'll show you I can live as this kind of continental person. And now we're seeing, oh shit, I changed locations and I'm still me. Because y'all, this kind of freak out is not just about India. This freak out has happened over and over again.
It's exactly the same as Danielle thinking that she can go off to another country and sell her lifestyle, make everyone back home jealous. Oh, I'm going to have retreats and this is going to be this wonderful, wonderful life. But no, you're still Danielle. It's all going to go horribly wrong.
You're still a miserable bitch. Yeah. Wherever you go, what's that song? Wherever you go, there you are. Is that a country song? Yeah. Anyway, y'all, She does her pea soup screen, head spins around, and then she screams, "I hate you," at him. And then in a coup de grace, she says that, and then mom from the other room goes, "Let her go." It's just an ultimate cartoonish villain. Let her go.
Has Mother Poodle ever been in the house while you have had a fight with a significant other?
She would just go, "Don't want to be around there."
I think she would avoid.
But as soon as they would be gone, she would be more passive aggressive. She would say, "I just like to give you boys your privacy. You know me." No. And I'm like, "You're a liar. First of all, you've never tried to do that." But she does. She wants us to. And then when they were gone, she would say, "I knew that would never work out. Too different. And, you know, you have problems, but she has more problems." Or it would be he. But, you know, or she'd say, "Maybe the problem is that you're both men." Oh, God. She would say that. "Oh, Jaybird, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with one man and another man together." Speaking of relationship problems, Danielle and Johan, or just Danielle in this thing, she's got her, what I called her Erica Jane, from the Housewives ponytail of power. And she's packing his stuff, y'all. This is what I'm really upset by. Y'all, we are watching the whitewashing of Danielle, because she's now the woman scorned. And now we're going to have to see this bitch on the single life. It's just inevitable. Mm-hmm. Have a seat. You're going to get served another three squares of Danielle being horrible.
Yeah.
And I can't wait, because I love to hate her. It's like a sport.
But even worse than that, it's going to start off like your entree is going to be Danielle being nice.
And yes! That is
Danielle being sexy and flirty, and it is going to give you the fucking creeps, and it is going to be unwatchable. You remember when Natalie first started dating?
She's got to be on the single life every single. She might take a season off.
I never want to take a season. But the uncanny valley of her trying to be charming. Yes. And the fawning, and how it just made you feel like, this is all wrong. I need you screaming and being a monster. This is it, and you're going to get that with Danielle, and you are going to hate your eyes for making you see it.
No, it'll feel wrong. Like, it'll feel weird, like when you just dress up an animal in like a sexy costume. Yeah. It's weird. It just doesn't feel good.
No.
And so, y'all, Gizmo's just eating a carrot because, of course, he doesn't have real treats. And Johan's been gone a month, and she's completely moseying out because, of course, y'all, she's hosting a retreat because a grifter has got a grift. That's what she went down there for.
Sure.
So he basically, she's like, "I learned something this week that made me not want to fight for my marriage anymore." And a woman wrote her on social media and says she'd been in a relationship with Johan for, and y'all, this is another probably older American woman.
You can tell, right?
Yeah. A Sankey's got a pank.
Right.
If a grifter's got a grift, a Sankey Panky got a pank. And then she texts Danielle and says, "Well, are you getting a divorce? Because I've met his family, and we had sex when you were married, and I got a dick pic on Christmas." She sent Danielle a dick pic that he had sent her on Christmas Eve, assumingly when she was dressed in the elf outfit.
Yeah, Santa brings dick pics to all of the good children.
Oh, I hope so. This reason, I've been very good this year, Santa.
Being on the nice list. If you're on the naughty list, well, maybe it works the other way. Hold on.
I'm never on the nice list, Robin. I think it works the other way. Santa brings dick pics to the naughty boys and girls.
Can dick pics be an appropriate Christmas gift? I'm just, you know, like at this time of year, every magazine and website.
For me, yes.
For him, for her, for your mother, for your... in which of those lists does a dick
For the pic? Slut, you can throw some dick pics in.
Imagine an advent calendar. I'm giving this away. First one of your listeners who actually wants to do this, right? I am not copywriting this idea, okay?
Yeah.
Have at it. I want to see it out there in the world. You know, I think kind of you pull open the little...
Yes, little thing, love them.
But imagine if there's a different dick pic behind every little window.
That's a $1 million idea.
It is, right? And I just gave it away.
You lost out, Robin. That would have been a really, really good gift. I'll
make you one next year.
Please, a dick pic, but they all have to be yours. So she says, I have no idea who this man is. And y'all, she's doing her best, like single mom moving out of the house, like stiff upper lip. She's put on extra makeup. She's gotten a little bit more of a spray tan. You can tell she's trying to do, this is like act 4 for me. Danielle's going to make it. I'm a strong woman and I'm going to move to, and she did later on find, she went through his computer and found 6 other women.
Sure.
And apparently he's been getting money from them too. He refuses to have a conversation about it because I don't know if we'll see him on camera.
Well, why should he?
Exactly.
Why should he have that conversation about it?
I wonder if he's going to be at the reunion. I don't know. I think he'd have to be contractually.
Yeah. I think he will. Because I don't think he has anything whatsoever to be ashamed of in any way. All right. Let's get this.
It was transactional.
Real clear. Absolutely. This was a transactional relationship. The contract very clearly stated that he would get to go to the States. Almost immediately, she broke that contract.
He thought he was on a different show, Robin. He thought he was on 9 Day Fiancé, but he was on the other way.
Couldn't agree more. This man is so within his rights, I think, to have done what he did. I think while there was still a chance that he might get to go to the States, the contract then, you know, the business pivots, okay?
New business model.
New business model, which is fuck a bunch of other women, right?
And get money for it.
Yeah, well, hit them up to see if one of those can see through the original contract. You may have to subcontract this out to someone else, right? In the meantime, the business relationship continues with Danielle, and it's on a don't ask, don't tell basis.
Yes.
Okay? He at that point has other clients, but he still gives her the boyfriend experience.
Uh-huh.
Right? And that's what she has been paying for. So it's like, yeah, obviously, you know, you're not his only client. Okay.
But right.
He's not gonna, you know, show up to the appointments with you and tell you about the 5 other women that he banged that week, right? Okay. So that's what that then became. So for her to then be all cross about this is insane. And she knew, and I don't believe a word of it, that she's genuinely bothered. I think what has honestly happened is one of those other things in a fire. What's the phrase?
Irons, like with Mora. Yeah.
Yes. His iron was in several other fires, and one of them ignited, right?
And one of them
to pay for his divorce and probably get him out to the States.
And one of them had balls enough to contact her.
Yeah, I love that.
And I got to say, y'all, that's intense. Because
she's paying for the divorce, right?
Yeah.
So she can make this no contest. I think she just saved herself a lot of money by sending Danielle those messages.
I think this is a really, really elaborate scheme. And I do believe she's staying in this longer so she can get her coaching business and everything off. Supposedly she was hanging out in Florida at her grandmother's house because supposedly she manifested this trip down. Seriously, this it's so good. If you ever follow her on Instagram, I kind of hate watch sometimes because I hate myself.
I think we got a really nice message from her on Instagram, actually.
I think y'all did?
I think that happened.
We don't do those things because I've been quite vocal about how I feel about her. Yeah. We've trashed her. I did a rant that was so withering her first season. And my hatred for her has kind of turned into a slight bit of respect for how to be on a show and how to get all this. Yeah. But you're right. This is all acting. This is all acting like she's Deborah Winger in every movie where she's like, I'm just going to get my stuff together and find my strong woman again. And yeah.
She doesn't believe she's genuinely entitled to have the kind of incredibly toxic relationship she's had with Johan all of these years.
Yeah.
Right. She knows that it's not okay. That's why she differs from Angela. Say
yes,
right? Because Angela has always felt, well, you know, I own you, I can treat you however I want and do whatever I want. I don't,
because I paid for you.
Yeah, I don't think Danielle ever really saw it that way. I think Danielle always knew that in this business arrangement she was getting quite a good deal.
And I think, and I will say this till the end, Danielle is an incredibly intelligent woman, more than she lets on. More than she seems foolish. And I think she's laughing a little bit at this. We'll see. Y'all, that is the show. Thank you so much to the beautiful, the inimitable, the here's sweet.
Yes.
Citizen of the United Kingdom.
And of the world.
Robin.
We're all brothers. We're all sisters. Thank you, Poodle. Thank you so much for
jumping in with this. My love to Michelle and y'all, check out their show, Bloody Day Fiance. You guys cover sister wives, you guys do toe, you guys do a various and sundry things.
Various and sundry, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But y'all check us out. We'll be back in our next week with Maddie and I. But until then, we bid you cheerio, right?
See ya.
See ya.